Discover trends and developments years before they happen. Right here on the Alex Jones Show. Tomorrow's news today. While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. Dallas in Canada, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hello.
Welcome.
How's it going?
Good.
I wanted to talk about the election, but you guys got started talking about COVID, and it got me thinking about reverse transcription of DNA.
Yep.
And they did to my mother. Like, my mom got the rapid cancer.
Sorry.
And she's gone, but it's like, you know, everything that came out about them, oh, get your shots, get your shots. My mom goes and gets her shots. She's been in remission from cancer for 12 years. And then all of a sudden has cancer all over her body.
Like, that's what oncologists worldwide have documented, and the studies show, especially if you're in remission or don't have cancer anymore, you're pretty much dead if you take the shots.
Yeah, she got her third one, and then a week later, she was just full of it. So
sorry, brother.
I just want to say to everybody who's, it is at the end of the day anecdotal evidence, but it is something to look out for, really.
Well, brother, it's not anecdotal. In the major studies, it causes turbo cancer.
Like, it's my quote unquote anecdotal evidence, if anybody wants to say that. But it happened in my life, and I watched it firsthand. So.
I'm sorry, man. Man, well, what do you think about Fauci and the globalist?
Oh, they're greasy, man. And I'm from the fucking globalist stronghold of Canada, right? So I see it plain as day. There's a lot of Canadians that aren't blind to it, but too many that are.
Well, brother, God bless you, and I'm sorry about your mother. Wow. Thank you. Stephanie in Missouri, go ahead.
Hey, Alex, can you hear me?
I can, yes.
Perfect. So kind of the same thing as what the last caller was kind of touching on. I had a whole other thing I wanted to talk about, but I wanted to speak about the COVID situation. But basically, I have been listening to you since, like, around September 11th, let's say, is when I kind of heard about you. And I was against the vaccine, you know, of course. And, I mean, I've been talking to people about it, just, you know, all of that. And then I finally ended up getting a family member of mine that, you know, was doing some research and basically said, you know, I think that the Johnson & Johnson is a little bit different than the other two. And, you know, we were basically forced to take the shot. If we didn't, you know, if we didn't, we'd lose our jobs and all of that. So, sadly, I feel like a sellout. I ended up, me and some family members went and got it. And I've had the worst anxiety since then. I mean, I've had this, I guess you could call health anxiety since then, just paranoid, so paranoid about it, because you hear about it, you know, obviously listening to you. But
well, here's the good news. Even less than an hour in the studies of the Pfizer or Moderna mRNA shot above 87 degrees, and the replication, it's still poisonous, but the scientists have explained the replication of the nanotech particles stops. And so, it's a very delicate weapon. It's got to get in your body, and then it starts replicating, even though your body's above 87. I don't understand why that happens, but they've got to keep it refrigerated or it doesn't stay active. You understand?
Right. Yeah.
So you might have gotten one where they were lazy and didn't refrigerate it.
Well, but I don't hear about the Johnson & Johnson. I hear you guys, and that's what I've always wanted to
It's just as bad. It's a virus vector. It fires a chimpanzee genome with a virus in it into your cell, and it makes your cell produce spike protein. It does the exact same thing.
And so basically what you guys were talking about is that I see it all over Reddit. I mean, I'm so passionate about this on top of course, the election and how brainwashed the left is. But I see it constantly where the more vaccines that these people get, you see it on Reddit. I mean, I've had COVID 6 times, 7 times, and then you ask them how many boosters, how many, 10 boosters? They basically have had every shot possible.
And you just heard the scientist that's over in England saying, yeah, it erases your immune system. Ha, ha, ha. I mean, okay, a vaccine that erases your immune system. What the hell? That's like, it's crazy. We'll be right back. limited edition, exclusive, InfoWars proprietary, 24-carat, .999, pure gold collectible is now available. In this credit card size package, laminated with original InfoWars art, this is a memento to remind you of the fact that you kept InfoWars on the air at a critical time. We could do a straight-up donation drive, but we may have to do one. But this is basically the same thing as donating. You just get this collectible as a thank you from us for what you're doing. So please take action. Get yours right now at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. We cannot stay on the air without your support. This is a collectible, and it is a beautiful piece of gold, a little bar that symbolizes your support of the InfoWar. I humbly ask you to take action and make the decision to keep us on air, because this is your chance to keep InfoWars on the air at a critical juncture in the fight for our republic.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you are a go.
It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Well, we're really blessed to have Martin Armstrong on with us for the balance of the hour, the next 54 minutes. He is an extremely respected economist for 40 years, and he's been coming on the show for more than 20. ArmstrongEconomics.com, ask-socrates.com, and he's with us ahead of Jay Dyer coming on with us in the fourth hour. If the callers hold, I will get to you before Jay Dyer. We can even take a few more if folks want to call in. But I read a Zero Hedge article with an interview with him where he just said a lot of really important things. And everything he said, I personally have hundreds of data points per comment he made that back up in my own personal opinion of what's going on. But he has, for decades, very sophisticated, 30 plus years, computer models that have been amongst the most accurate out there. And his computer sees Trump with a win, but there's wild cards of assassination or war. He also says we're looking at a serious civil unrest, regardless of who wins. And of course, we've got all these top Democrats saying they want civil war conditions. And so I want to have him expand on these quotes and statements that I saw in the Zero Hedge article, and then add anything else he wants to say about the betting market, saying Trump's now come up to meet her or ahead of her, and then what he thinks the deep state could do to try to wrest victory from the jaws of defeat. So, Martin, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, it's always a pleasure. We are certainly in interesting times, that's for sure.
What do you want to dive into first? I'd like you to flesh out and expand on these points. So what about Trump? What your computer sees, your concerns about, you know, seeing pretty much certain civil unrest, and how you see that manifesting?
At this point, it doesn't matter who really wins. Neither side is going to accept the result. I mean, that's where we're at this stage in the game. I mean, you just look at the Democratic convention. They threw out Trump's name 329 times. It was just basically a hate fest. So, I mean, our computer has been phenomenal on forecasting politics and wars around the world. I mean, back in 2016, all the polls said Hillary would win. The computer said, nope, sorry, Trump's going to win. 2020, it did show a very tight race, 50-50. This time, it's showing, you know, I am kind of shocked myself, but out of six models, only two show very, very close race. The rest of them, two of them are at, one is at 61%, and the other one's at 59% for Trump. Now, no president has won 60% other than FDR the first time there in the Great Depression. Then you had Johnson after the Kennedy assassination, which was probably a sympathy vote, and Richard Nixon when he said he was taking us out of Vietnam. If you just look on Wikipedia or whatever at these elections, you'll see like Obama won, I think it was 51.5%. This is typical. They get only maybe 1-3% max, and they pretend they have this mandate. And the problem we are facing here is that this is a global, our computers monitoring the entire world. And as I said, 60% of the world was going to election here this year. Look at what happened in Europe. All of a sudden, you know, it all flipped to the right, the EU elections. They were shocked. France, the same thing. Look at the UK, conservatives thrown out. And, you know, the left is in there throwing 11-year-old boys in prison for criticizing the government. Over in Asia, you had the Iron Lady. She had to flee the country. She was thrown out. So what the computer is projecting that Trump would win is in accordance to what you're seeing globally. And the only way I think to properly explain it, it's not left versus right. It's pretty much when you look across the board, it's whoever is in power, just throw them out.
That's exactly what I was going to say, is throw out the incumbents, which is beyond a political realignment. It shows extreme anger.
Yes, and it's global. I mean, as you know, we've got offices everywhere from China to, you know, Dubai. And we hear the same complaint against government. I mean, the issue may differ, but there isn't anybody that's happy with their governments anymore. And I mean, just look at what's going on in the UK. It's insane. They want to, you know, extradite people for criticizing their government from foreign countries. They think this is like the British, you know, empire is resurrected or something, and they control the entire world.
So what we're seeing, as you're saying, Martin, and correct me if I'm wrong, and continue, please, is that you have desperate power structures resorting to totalitarianism as there is a global awakening and uprising against the establishment, no matter whether it's left or right.
Yes, it's everywhere. And it's not a single philosophy per se. It's just whoever was in power, throw them out. And this is pretty much what you're seeing. Yeah, the danger is that most of your revolutions throughout history really come from the left. They sell this idea that they are the victims. And, you know, I can't get ahead in life because you have more money than me. That's basically what it comes down to. I mean, 1848, there was a big communist sweep of throughout Europe. Started in Sicily, went all the way through just about every government. And it changed the government successfully in France. And, you know, even what started the hyperinflation in Germany. Most people don't look at the facts. In 1918, there was a revolution. Again, a communist revolution. And what did they do? They asked Russia to even come in and take Germany. They wanted to join the, you know, the communists there in 1917. And that was the Weimar Republic. And they ended up, people are fleeing, you know, putting their money in every other currency but Germany. And that's what created the hyperinflation. In December of 1922, the government was so desperate, they confiscated 10% of everybody's assets in the banks. And they gave you a bond, which, they defaulted on. I mean, you know, if the government here today just said, oh, well, we need money, so we're going to take 10% of what you have in the bank. Right today, you know, and so it's not really just, you know, you'll own nothing and be happy. It's you'll own nothing, shut up, and you'll be happy, pretty much. And there, whenever government is losing power, and they all know they're losing power, all right, they do get much more authoritarian. And this is the real problem. When you look at Russia, a lot of people don't know the history of Russia. But Lenin, okay, he led, you know, everything for the communist. But he wanted to model it on the United States, that each republic retained its own sovereignty. And he warned in a letter, he said, do not let Stalin succeed me. And it's widely believed that Stalin ended up poisoning Lenin and his wife because he took power and then he took the opposite position. He basically wanted centralized control and grabbed the power from everybody.
Sure, Tsar 2.0. And then, of course, Lenin, who carved off Ukraine and made it its own country.
Right. He killed, they estimate, at least 20 million people that disagreed with him. So it's always the left you have to be careful about. The right tends to be more like, you leave me alone and I'll leave you alone. But the left isn't happy with that. And just look at what, Starmer's doing in the UK. It's unbelievable. And people are fleeing. I know, I lived in London for 7 years myself. I mean, it was a beautiful city. I don't even want to go back anymore. It's what France did to the CEO of Telegram. I mean, it's...
Martin, skipping ahead, I want you to continue wherever you want to go because you're right, history repeats. Pavlov Durov of Telegram, bigger than X worldwide, he gets lured to France by Macron, arrested, charged with allowing criminal activity, which is going on every major platform. And by that yardstick, Zuckerberg, Elon Musk, Google head, Sundar Pichai, they could all be arrested. I'm really concerned that if Elon was to go to Brazil or go to the EU, he would be arrested. What do you make with this whole totalitarian blooming explosion worldwide? What do you think about them going after Elon? What do you think about Telegram founder?
Yeah, look, they just released the Telegram founder on bail. You do not even go to Europe. You just don't. As of January 1st, all Americans are going to need a visa to be approved to even go to Europe. And they're going to look at what you do. I mean, I'm sure you and I were not going to be approved, But this is the world we live in. They know they're losing power. And that's why I'm concerned about this particular election. But even you take Elon Musk, the head of the EU commission, sent him a letter demanding that he censor an interview, basically with Trump that was going to be taking place here.
Total election meddling. Total election meddling.
It's going off the charts, really, completely off the charts. This is not going to end well. Our computer shows that we're going to be looking at major civil unrest, revolutions, and war. Now, my other concern is what is really behind with these neocons. I was behind RFK joining Trump. And my main reason for that is that Bobby was against war. And he also knows about the neocons. All right. So the two of them are the greatest threat to Washington. And I think they finally listened to me because at the beginning of the year, I said, look, this is going to be the playbook. Biden is not going to be the candidate. He's going to stay there until after the Republican convention. There were two groups at that point. It was Michelle Obama and Hillary. But the neocons basically had all the money raised from Biden, and they just handed it to Camilla because she's an exact, carbon copy of what he does. All right. She just reads whatever's on the cue card. They put her in charge of AI because at least she could spell two letters at the same time. That was about it.
And she would go, AI means artificial intelligence. Yeah. And what about all these? What, real quick snapshot then. Expanding on this, civil unrest, what is your computer? Break down how it operates. And it's proprietary, but you have one of the best, accurate models out there. It's well known for people that don't know or hiding under a rock. Why do you see civil unrest, A, and then B, I know you follow this. All these top Democrats are saying, don't worry, we'll just have civil war conditions and civil unrest. And they've got $350 million movies promoting overthrowing Washington and killing Trump and blowing everything up. I mean, they're really hyping this like they really think it's an option.
Yes. Look, this is the problem. I mean, Civilization is when everybody comes together and we all benefit. What they are doing is this is my turn to oppress everybody that disagrees with me. That's not democracy. It's not civilization. You know, you're not representing the people. You know, this is a usurpation of power. As simple as that. Now, my concern here is that I know some of these neocons for years. Bill Kristol even spoke at one of our conferences back in the 90s. Right? He wrote the book to go into Iraq. Most people do not know, but one in four people that went into the Iraq war were mercenaries. What is going on? The neocons basically are kind of circumventing Congress. And what they're doing is you take something like Blackwater and it's appropriated for money. It's Blackwater is hiring people and they then go. Okay. So you had in Afghanistan up to 70% of the troops were not American troops. They were mercenaries. This is dangerous. Because Congress is the one that's supposed to have the authority to declare war. Here, they're basically just declaring war themselves, circumventing Congress. You know, and
let me ask you this, because you're always on everything I bring up, you're a news hound. I'm sure you've seen all these different Democrat officials like Raskin and many others, and the head of the UN Global Rapid Response, Dr. Ryan. We've seen Peter Hotez. I mean, literally 10 clips we played in the last 2 weeks of them saying when the new pandemic happens, we're going to arrest people that disagree and not just use NATO and the UN mm-hmm. to censor people, but we need law enforcement and troops. So for the first time ever, it's not some guy in the backwoods of Tennessee who's been proven right or East Texas saying the UN's coming. They're literally talking about I-4 foreign troops in America. What the hell is that?
This is why they're letting in all these migrants. All right. And, you know, they're offering them a path to citizenship if you join the military. All right. You can look up an event basically in 532 AD. It's called the Nika Revolt. There are all these people revolting against the emperor. And his wife said, hey, you have a legion outside, which are not Greeks. Bring them in and they'll defend you. And they did. They came in and they killed 30 some thousand Greeks. They didn't like them. All right. You basically use an army of a different ethnic group. So if you're raising an army of these new migrants, you now give them authority and you give them guns, all right, they will have no problem arresting and shooting Americans. They will not. All right. When Russia went through the coup with Gorbachev and Yeltsin stood on the tank, the reason the coup failed, because he stood up and said, do not shoot your fellow Russians. And the army stood down. And then the coup failed. If they were not Russians, and they were, let's say, mercenaries from Ukraine or something, kill them all. They understand that.
Well, it's the same thing in China. Same thing in China, in Tiananmen Square. They shipped a whole different ethnic group of Chinese, didn't even speak the same language, from 800 miles away.
Yes. This is why you do this. You're not going to shoot your neighbor. All right? Well, he lent me some sugar last time. I know him. Okay? You will basically bring in a group of people that do not like the other group and say, go for it. This is why the EU wanted to create an army so they can send French in against the, you know, or Germans against the Greeks or vice versa. You send an army of a different ethnic class. This is the playbook. So be very careful, because my concern here is, I first encountered this back in 97, because I had the mandate from Hong Kong when it was going to be handed back to China in 98. I knew the Australian government. So they asked me to try and negotiate with them. And I met with former Prime Minister Paul Keating. And everything I proposed, let me buy this island. No, can we take the upper left-hand corner of Australia? Nobody's there. No, no, no. And I finally, I said, I got a blank check here. I can pay off your national debt. What's the problem? I thought it was racist. I said, you just don't like Chinese? Is that the issue? And he said, no, they are fleeing communism. And if they allowed them into Australia, they would vote conservative, and he was a Labor government. And that's the first time I saw they're talking about migrations. Who are they going to vote for? So all these people coming in, the Democrats have opened the borders. That was the very first day Biden came to power. This is a plan.
And now they've had Democrat congressmen and women on TV admit they're bringing them in to change the congressional apportionment first, then give them driver's license and let them vote. And they admit something like 80% of Latin Americans vote socialist or communist. What's wrong with them? Because they're hardworking good people on average, but they flee communism or socialism and then they bring it here. What's the disconnect?
The people that are coming in are not the Mexicans. All right. The Mexicans have good family values. They're hard workers. I know a number of them here in Florida. They are pissed off at this because I had to have something. I had to have a language, etc. If I wanted to go move to Zurich, I can't become a citizen there. I have to be able to speak, German. Usually you have to have some sort of qualification. This is why Brexit. They didn't understand it. People voted for Brexit. Why? All the Indians that went there had to have a skill. They had to speak the language. Most of them were in the healthcare industry, doctors, nurses, etc. And I said, you're opening the borders. You're letting all these people in that have no talent, nothing. Oh, we had to go through all of this. So this is why you're starting to see here in the United States, a lot of the Mexicans and things of this nature are very opposed to this. Because it makes them look bad. They end up throwing everybody in the same bus,
Well, also, Mexico's founded by Spain, and so it's more interchangeable with Western values.
Yeah, I mean, they're Christians. They have good family values, etc. I mean, so it's a completely different thing than you have people coming in from Africa and Asia, and they're all coming in through Mexico. So we're not talking about Mexicans here. And I think one guy I spoke to who went down there, he said he only saw one couple with kids coming from Peru. That was it. And so the danger here is, all right, fine. You've let in all these people. You're giving them a free lunch, free health care. California's even just passed a bill to give them free housing. They can get their own house, nothing down. I mean, what about everybody else that's got to work for this stuff? They get more money than you would get on Social Security, and free health care.
What do you make of California set to sign a bill for $150,000 for the illegal aliens for houses?
It's crazy. It's completely crazy. They think they'll always get their vote and therefore they'll retain power. That's what this is about. And my concern is after the election, what happens when the checks stop coming? Because that's what's going to take place. They're
Martin Armstrong, stay there. We've got 30 minutes left. You're gracious to be here. Everybody should go to your site. It's incredible information. ArmstrongEconomics.com and Ask-Socrates.com. So much more to talk about. Back in just a few minutes. Stay with us. COVID vax causes more heart damage than COVID virus and brain, blood, immune cancer, reproductive study. I mean, there's so many of these studies. What do you make of that?
This finally settled the question, Alex. The COVID vaccine causes myocarditis in young people, not the infection. It's a government false narrative. It's been propagated through the American College of Cardiology and other agencies that the infection causes myocarditis. It doesn't.
Looking at this, then, we see these headlines constantly. When you follow the article, there's no link, there's no proof. It just says COVID's a greater risk of heart problems than the shot, and then they just lie.
It's essentially a giant medical lie perpetrated by the American College of Cardiology, the CDC, the NIH, This is a false narrative. No confirmed cases by adjudication or autopsy. Right. No hospitalizations and deaths. But the vaccine, I'm a cardiologist, Alex. I am knee deep in people with vaccine myocarditis causing heart failure. The vaccines do cause heart arrhythmias in some. It's inflammation in the heart, atrial fibrillation, sometimes ventricular arrhythmias.
COVID shots can enlarge and weaken the heart. Another study.
Heart failure can be an outcome of subclinical myocarditis. It's very important for people to realize they may not feel chest pain initially, but then they have the onset of effort intolerance, a pulmonary edema, congestion, and leg swelling. I have cases from Austin, Alex, referred up to my office. It's vaccine myocarditis and heart failure. They need treatment for this. The go-to is McCullough Protocol based spike protein detoxification with supplements available through OnlineHealthNow.com.
OnlineHealthNow.com.
We have ample data now suggesting every cancer is increasing worldwide in virtually every organ system, and it's related to COVID-19 vaccines.
Now, I'm glad, Dr. McCullough, that you brought up how to detox, either whether you got COVID in the wild, which you know is a lot less from the studies, bad as taking the shots. But if you want to detox from it, you're one of the top research doctors out there, one of the, if not the most published. You have actually developed something, come up with something available at OnlineHealthNow.com that you're saying is the go-to here. Spend a few minutes telling us about that anti-spike protein protocol.
It's the base of what we do now in long COVID and vaccine injury syndromes. It's caused because of accumulation of the spike protein from the infection, and in a massive doses from the vaccine, it gets stuck in the human body. We need to assist the body in clearing the spike protein. We have several years of observation, multiple peer-reviewed publications on this, very good support for doing this. It's nattokinase, which is a natural enzyme derived from the fermentation of soy. Japanese discovered it. Bromelain, a family of enzymes derived from the stems of pineapple. And then lastly, curcumin, derived from turmeric and Indian spice. These are all in capsule format. We give them in combination in between meals, and we're using accelerating doses. People are doing this across the world right now, Alex.
So you build up.
And we build up. Now listen, the initial starting doses were 2,000 units twice a day of natto. We're now going to 4,000 twice a day. We do give them in addition to blood thinners, and we have found sometimes it's the only way to dissolve the blood clots. When people get large vaccine blood clots, the blood thinners just hold it steady. They don't dissolve them. We actually have to give thrombolytic enzymes. That's McCullough Protocol-based spike protein detoxification.
And people can find out all the details of that at OnlineHealthNow.com.
That's the go-to place. The wellness company provides, really the leading quality in the leading formulation. So the spike formulation has not only nattokinase, but five minor ingredients. We combine that with the curcumin and the bromelain for what we think is the ultimate spike detox trio. OnlineHealthNow.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Fortune tanto vulnera, si latibus ocelis, potsu amici vulnera, sutra di prebelis.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
All right, he's an amazing researcher and economist. Martin Armstrong is our guest. And I wanted to finish up with the destabilization plan. The top Democrats admitting they have a plan to not go along with the election. They're talking about having their own inauguration. They brought in at least 20 million illegals since Biden's been in. Millions of military-aged men with the same backpacks, the same shoes, from the Middle East, from Africa, from Asia. Venezuelan gangs said a year ago, we played the clips, we're coming up there to get houses and free homes and apartments. And now not just Colorado, that's where it's getting the focus, in Aurora and Denver, but it's all over the local news there. They come in with guns, point them at people, throw them out. The police do nothing. And the police say, well, we don't even know what's happening. And then the governor came out and said, quote, it's not happening. He said it's a fantasy. I actually have the newscast here. This is them robbing a jewelry store. But let's go to the clip I played yesterday of them taking over the apartment complex, because this is what's going on. And I already played the newscast, three or four of them yesterday. and then the police are saying, we don't know what's going on. And then the governor says, nothing's happening. This is a fantasy. You're imagining this. And you see Pelosi calling MS-13 God's children. Martin Armstrong, what's really happening here?
I suggest you read, you can go on YouTube and just look up Tony Blair's apology. And he said, you know, very sorry. We thought we were going into Iraq to free the people, and we subjected them to more sectarian violence. These people never think about, you know, step two. All they've thought about is, how do we win this election? Let all these people in. Then what? They don't think about that. This is, our computer is warning, this 2024 election is probably going to be the last one for the country. The country will most likely break up. We're probably looking at the West Coast, you know, becoming one sector, the New England another, and probably the South Texas and up through the Bible Belt, something different. You know, there's a country this divided cannot possibly stand. And what the Democrats have done this time is just over the top. They have no person. I mean, look at Camilla. Nobody was allowed to even be on the primary election. They kicked RFK off. All right. And that was intentional because they knew Biden was not going to be their candidate. All right. So this is the first time in history nobody was ever allowed to vote for even who would be the candidate. This is not democracy. This is not anything. This is basically a usurpation of power. And that's my concern with the neocons. And as I said, with the mercenaries, they can basically now form their own armies without congressional authority. And they could invade, you know, New York City or Washington, D.C. or anything that they wanted. This is just make up some excuse.
And they're paid like government said, benefits. Oh, they're signed up. They're signed up by the Democrats. The Democrats decided they were up to show up even to their hearings for immigration. And they give them government or NGO cell phones. You're right. They can literally command them to do whatever they want. So they're basically putting a detonator switch or a self-destruct switch into the country and telling us they're going to use civil unrest. How do we counter that? How do we have this not be the last election?
I think the country's too divided. I think there is no other choice but to have this as the last election. We cannot possibly stand. There's no way of reasoning with these people. It's beyond reason. It's not solvable. We're going to have to start looking realistically at dividing the country up the same way Europe is going to go back the other way as well. No country has ever survived more than, you know, a couple hundred years without revolutions. This idea of a one world government will solve all the problems that the UN wants to create is nonsense. Just look at Rome. I mean, fine, it was one government. How many civil wars did they have? That does not solve the problem.
By the way, let me just back you up. You're not being negative here. And I think barring a miracle, you're probably right, even in the short term or midterm, because I read what comes out of the Club of Rome and the Bilderberg Group leaks and the actual policy reports of the Trilateral Commission, CFR, and, of course, the World Economic Forum. And they say globalism's failed, the nations are going to divide, the EU is going to fail, and then even larger countries are going to break up. And they plan to have globalist city states that have all the money and power like Hunger Games, and that's actually the model they've really been wanting for 60 years. The globalism answer of peace and love was always a lie. Now they've gotten the chief lawyer, the head of United Nations Legal Affairs, on secret video, Project Veritas, Stephen Crowder has, admitting that the globalist system's totally failed, that they're 95% useless, and that everyone's turning against them, and that it's going to collapse. So we have the head legal affairs lawyer saying it's all over. So they're already basically abandoning ship. Tie into that Zuckerberg falling on his sword. Why is he doing that?
Because basically I think he knows that Trump is legally probably going to win. You're just looking at the trend globally. He should win anyhow. I mean, even with Brexit, our computer had projected it would win. All the polls said no. Nigel Farage came to our 2019 conference in Rome, and he said, "Of course I'm here." They're the only ones that said I would win. You know, it's I've known Klaus Schwab, and he is basically a control freak. I mean, you're not even allowed to make one mistake in his company, and you're dragged out onto the carpet. He stepped down from being the CEO, but he's still the chairman. And that was only just to make it pretend that, you know, he's not completely in charge, but he is. I mean, this is his operation from birth. But these people, this is what they believe. And it's all about power. Zuckerberg, I think, went too far. And I think he's beginning to realize that, you know, you better be neutral here, pal. Otherwise, Trump did, you know, say in his book that, you know, he would throw him in prison for interfering in the election. It is a crime to do so.
It's a massive crime.
It's right in the standard. In the statutes. I mean, you judges do this all the time. Prosecutors, I mean, you look at what they're doing to Trump in New York. They're interfering in the election. I mean, that's what this is about.
And look at the exodus. The exodus out of New York of Capitol. As you said, the Democrats don't think second, third, fourth order magnitude. They'll do one move to stay in power, not seeing it causes 10 more problems for them and everybody else. So they double down again, and now it's all gyrating out of control, destabilization.
Look, Florida, Miami is replacing Wall Street. I mean, I had a friend who was one of the pretty big up there in New York, and he gave me a call. He says, "Hey, you want to go to dinner?" I said, "Yeah, sure. Okay, fine." I went to dinner. I thought he was just here, just on a vacation. He says, "No, I moved here." I mean, everybody is moving. The biggest hedge fund in New Jersey moved here to Florida. That has a lot of implications because then they lose taxes. So then they start raising more taxes. And as people want to leave, then they want to punish them for leaving.
And Hollywood, how would you describe Hollywood? How would you describe Hollywood right now? Just a propaganda zombie, an unprofitable failure?
I know some of the people there. I mean, even that's dividing. They're beginning to wake up and see, hey, what's happening? It's, you know, you take that movie Civil Wars, they had to leave out the why, okay? Otherwise, it would have been blackballed, all right? But the fact they even did that shows that there are a lot of people beginning to wonder what's going on in this country. It is very, very divided. And that's, you know, I hate to say it, but look, the country, U.S., is going to break up. There's no question about it. It will break up. We cannot stay united. I mean, even Abraham Lincoln said that, you know, a country divided cannot stand. And there is no reasoning with these people. They have been brainwashed to the extent with all this leftist stuff. We are the enemy. Anybody that basically has a job. If you look really what Stammer said, you know, he's for working people. And what's he consider rich? Even a working person who happens to have savings. Anybody with savings is the disgusting rich person. That's the definition. All right. And the whole definition of who was the rich, they keep changing it all the time. Now it's down to household income. So if you, your wife and two kids earned, $250,000, now you're all the rich. I mean, this is basically what's going on.
And what do you make of Kamala wanting price controls and doubling down with a 70-plus percent capital gains tax? I mean, anybody knows, not even an economist, that is the kill switch on the economy.
It's worse than that. If you tax unrealized gains, all right, This is how they ended up destroying the farming industry. All right. Taxing unrealized gains. All right, Bezos. Oh, you've made so many billions of dollars. It's not cash. It's the value of the shares. All right. Now we want 25% of that. What does that mean? He has to sell the shares to pay the tax. All right. You're going to do that to all these companies. You're looking at the biggest crash in history. This is going to make, you know, the Great Depression look like child's play. And then what do? They take that, oh, unrealized gains. You already are paying taxes on unrealized gains through property taxes. They keep raising the value of your house. I paid, you know, $50,000 for it in 1950. Oh, well, now it's worth $1 million. And you're paying property taxes in some cases equal to or what you paid for the house.
So it's unsustainable. So by the time we have left, you're very gracious to be here. Top economist Armstrong with us. Martin, how you wanted to talk with him about the campaign and Trump and the election, but then I want to move into how do people protect themselves in this, what the globalists submit their own internal documents to now publicly, this time of unprecedented black swans, global destabilization, war, the end of an old system, a new system. Speak to the election and then just a snapshot. We've got about 12 minutes left of what the average person you think should do. Where are you on gold and silver?
I think that on the election side, as you know, I've been, you know, behind RFK joining Trump. And
that's been in the news.
The decision now is in Trump's court. And what I would like everybody to do is send letters to Trump. We need Bobby to be the AG. Why? Because it's very nice. They can put him in as the head of NIH or whatever. And I'll change all the rules. Very nice. If the next election and they win back, then what happens? The next administration changes all the rules. Nothing's permanent. All right. If he's AG, what I did say, look, he could even indict Pfizer. All right. And the only way to get rid of these neocons, and he knows who they are, all right, is to indict them for basically treason, etc. You got to go after these people. And the AG is the most powerful position domestically, more so than the president. VP is just, you know, a placeholder.
Yeah, but that's how they get away with all this tyranny, is controlling the Justice Department.
Yes, if we, you know, basically can get RFK in there, like I said, I've spoken to him. Look, there are differences between him and Trump, fine. But where they are in agreement, it is basically to stop World War III and against the neocons. All right. And Trump has even agreed on the whole vaccine issue as well. So I think that's very important. How do we protect ourselves? You have to understand, all right, you've heard, central banks are buying gold. Why? Okay. They're not an investor. They're not buying gold because they think it's going up or down or whatever. What's happened is once the neocons put in the sanctions on Russia, and they removed them from SWIFT, all these other countries started realizing they can do it to them. So China leaves, India, etc. So you're looking at, they created the BRICS. The whole object here is why they've been buying gold is because they're trying to divest themselves from dollars and euro. Because they know if war is coming, China held 10% of the U.S. national debt. Guess what? U.S. will default on it. Oh, we're not going to pay you. All right. This is why you're looking at, they dumped $53 billion the first quarter this year. So I would, you know, make it look basically for your own sanity. Of course, we still need bank accounts to be able to settle things. But I would look at physical metals, gold, silver. The silver I would use the old 1964 and back silver coins, because a lot of people, they don't know what a silver bar is. There have been videos of somebody offered a silver bar and chocolate bar, and they took the chocolate. All right. At least a coin, they can look at the date and know, oh, yeah, okay, fine. I know that one's good. So I would look at that as a backup, because when the country does split up, and we will split, there's no question about it, because there's no mending these fences anymore. Then what happens to the dollar? The dollar cannot possibly survive a civil war. It's just not going to happen. All right. Even during the Great Depression, you can Google up. It's called Depression Script. All right. Over 200 cities issued their own money. Think about it. This is what's going to happen.
Well, that's where all the trends go, Armstrong. And you're absolutely right, Martin Armstrong. So let me ask you this. How do you see the country splitting up into what, blocks? And then how do we keep the leftists and all their illegal alien hordes out? I guess the new countries that form would deport those people, and then we'd have to have security perimeters. I mean, this is going to be insane.
Yes. I mean, I think you're looking at the Pacific coast lining up with one group, New England another, and Florida up through the Bible Belt, basically, would be the third section.
Would Texas be part of that?
Yes, probably. I think Texas is very much against a lot of this stuff, the migrants.
And doesn't the South and Texas and Florida have everything already?
Yes, I think what you're looking at is the Bible Belt joining. You take the abortion issue. You're basically, governments break up when you have this concentration of power. Just as Stalin, all right? You cannot make a mandate, oh, everybody has to accept abortion, all right? That offends the religion in the Bible Belt area. It should not be a federal issue, all right? The Supreme Court was correct. Give it back to the states, all right? If you look at Ukraine, this is what the civil war is really about. Even the Pope has come out now against Zelensky because he has tried to outlaw Orthodox religion, telling them they cannot be subservient to the patriarch in Moscow. He set up a patriarch in Kiev, orders them that they can no longer have Orthodox Christianity. They must celebrate Christmas on December 25th. You can't do this kind of stuff. I mean, the Pope is not Orthodox. Even he comes out and says you cannot change people's religions.
Because he knows people are going to start overthrowing the Catholic Church, too.
Yeah, look, I mean, this is, everybody has, you know, their own religion, and we have to respect their religions. You don't go changing them. You know, and that's, you know, when you start doing stuff like that, now you're really feeding into the whole Civil War thing.
And, well, sorry, but for people who don't know, Russia was founded 1,000 years ago in what is Ukraine today, and they got taken over and got liberated by the Muscovite, that was another tribe of the same group. So this is literally the birthplace of Russia. Outlawing the Orthodox Church would be. I mean, it's insane.
Well, people should also understand. Putin is probably the only one who's the adult in the room at this point. If he was really ruthless, he would have nuked Kiev a long time ago. But Kiev is where the Rus began. All right. So that would be kind of like us nuking London. All right. So he's more of a historical, you know, buff that way. He's the one telling Iran, you know, to sit on their hands. Don't take the bait. He took the bait, and look what's happening. This thrust into Russia itself that American mercenaries are in there. You know,
I mean, I knew it was a NATO trap. I sat on air and told high-level Russians I talked to, do not go in. But at the same time, Putin's like, well, what am I supposed to do with NATO moving up to the borders? It's kind of a Hobson's choice.
Well, he went in and called it a special operation to defend just the, you know, the Donbass. All right. And he did send his tanks up to Kiev, didn't do anything. They just sat outside. I mean, we had employees there in Kiev and in.
Yeah, that was a diversionary tactic. That was a diversionary tactic.
It was basically a show of power. All right. Then there was a peace agreement. He withdrew the tanks. And then all of a sudden, after he withdrew the tanks, then Boris Johnson hops on the plane, goes there and tells Zelensky he cannot seek peace. All right. So that even made the front page of Pravda in Ukraine. And what's going on now is a lot of the Ukrainian people that I know feel that, you know, they're not in charge of their own country. And if you do a little bit of digging, all right, fine. The head of security, the bodyguards for Zelensky is a Ukrainian. The rest of them are Americans. Why? Because I'm telling you, if basically they had a shot, it would be Ukrainian that basically that would assassinate Zelensky, not a Russian. They feel he has torched their country. There is no peace agreement without a permission from Washington, that it's all orchestrated and he's just doing whatever he wants to do for, you know, to fill his pockets and hopes to go live on the beach of Miami.
In closing, Armstrong, one of the top economists out there, Martin Armstrong, how do you see the Ukraine war ending?
Well, Zelensky right now is suddenly saying he wants to talk about peace because he's afraid if Trump's coming in. And, you know, I've even discussed this with RFK. How would you solve it? First thing you do is you cut off all the funding for Ukraine. We're paying all the salaries of everybody in government and their pension funds. There is no economy left.
It's a joke.
It is. And that's the only way to stop this, because I'm telling you, I know Ukrainians very well. And what I can say is if you ever brought a bottle of Russian vodka to dinner in Kiev, it would be an insult. This is, they just hate Ukrainians to the bone. They hate Russians to the bone. I mean, we had a conference in Greece, and our employee from Kiev would not go back the quickest way because it effectively, there was a connecting flight through Moscow.
Incredible. So real tribal warfare, even though they're basically the same people. Armstrong, thank you so much, Martin Armstrong. People can find his amazing work at armstrongeconomics.com and ask-socrates.com. Thank you for the time. Amazing analysis. God bless you.
Thank you. Great to see you again. Take care.
Thank you. We'll be right back with hour number four. Stay with me. Obviously, silver's doing way better than gold in growth, and it's way undervalued. That's a fact. Why then are the central banks mainly hoarding gold?
Well, because there's simply not enough silver, right? It's like if you've got central banks that start allocating into silver when it's $30 an ounce and they want to have it be part of their reserves, it's like, okay, there's not enough silver in the world to do that, right? So they have to do gold because it's $2,400 an ounce, not $30 an ounce. Right, so this is why
they've
central
got so many quadrillions
gold.
Of fake money. There's not there's too much fiat to even buy the silver, which I would say then means silver still will always be the thing that grows the most.
Oh, so silver historically the numbers prove out that when gold is in a bull market, which it is, we're near all time highs. Silver does better than gold, so silver grows faster, and there's a reason why. Silver and gold both act as barometers to government distrust, right? It's the worse things get, the better financial metals do. They're a flight for safety. But what silver has that gold doesn't is it's a manufacturing metal. It's used in industry. So in aerospace, in defense, in electronics, in solar power, electric vehicles, all of that. The demand for silver is through the roof, Alex, and we're just taking advantage of that. And imagine what silver will do with Trump being president, somebody who actually grows the economy rather than having a stagnant economy. The industrial need for silver is absolutely going to explode.
Now you're right. Silver is the closest thing to a silver bullet. That's why they call it a silver bullet. People should go to kpm.com/gold right now and get silver now. We'll be right back.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.